Good afternoon, ladies, and Bob, and I think Udit's on his way, so there'll be two men here. So first of all, I'd like to apologize. I had a rare opportunity to have my photograph taken with Hillary Clinton, so I was encouraged to wait for that, so it was fantastic, so that's why I'm late. So sorry to be disrespectful of your time today. So hello, everybody. My name is Liz Henderson. I work for a company called EMD Millipore, and I recognise a lot of friendly faces in the audience, which is great. I think most of the room is EMD Millipore or EMD Serono, so this should be a friendly session. So my role with EMD Millipore is I'm the head of the Separations Technology Cluster, and that's leading a global organisation of about 2,200 people across the US and Europe. So I look after three sites in the US and three sites in Europe. So I didn't think I'd have anything in common with Lupita Nyong'o, but for those of you who listened to her this afternoon, when I heard her mention that she was asked to do this a very long time ago and agreed to it because it seemed so far away, I could definitely resonate with that. So this came along very quickly. So I was asked to lead this expert exchange in working globally. And the first thing I would say is I'm certainly not an expert in global working, but I have my own personal experience and I'm currently in a global role. So what I will do today is share that experience with you guys, and I really hope that we can have a discussion and some questions, and certainly I'll share my experience and how I'm effective or try to be effective in a global role. And also just thinking about some of the practical personal challenges that working in a global role presents. So I'll start by talking about my own experience. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of breath from running all the way from the main ballroom. So I guess starting with my own experience, you'll probably gather from my accent that I'm not from Boston. I'm not even from the US, so I was born in a little island on the far side of the Atlantic Ocean called Ireland, with about 6 million people, and I grew up there and I went to college there. I studied chemistry, and I graduated very shortly after a very bad recession in Ireland, which was in the mid-90s. And I think we're coming out of another similar experience, maybe not quite so bad. But when I graduated, people found it difficult to get jobs, but I was really, really lucky to get a job. And my first job out of college was working for a really small Irish startup company. So it was a very small environmental consulting firm. And when I started there, there were three of us, and when I left there, there were 15 of us. But it was a great place for a young graduate to work because you saw all aspects of a business. When a company is that small, you literally do everything. So we did everything from procurement to working in operations to meeting customers and looking after customer service to literally cleaning the bathrooms, which I did every Friday afternoon. So it really was a very broad experience. And in that particular job, most of our clients were multinationals. So that was really my first experience of a multinational or global company. So I would regularly head out in my second-hand crashed white van in my boiler suit to go and work on these sites. So I was absolutely amazed by the manufacturing capability, by the people, by the resources, and it really opened my eyes, and it was a great experience for a young graduate. So I think it kind of whetted my appetite for wanting to work in that bigger organization. So I got an opportunity when a girl that I lived with who worked for Pfizer, one of her friends in work was going on maternity leave, and she was like, you should really apply for that. So even though it wasn't a permanent position, which I had in my existing company, I thought, you know, I really want to do it. So I applied for it, and I got the temporary position. And I spent about 9 years at Pfizer, which was a really amazing experience. So I went from this really tiny Irish company to probably one of the biggest multinationals in the world. We had 90,000 people, I think, when I left Pfizer. And they had gone through a number of different acquisitions. So at Pfizer, I suppose my experience there was I learned a lot of the fundamentals. So I learned how to do things properly. We had amazing resources, fantastic training, really great opportunities. So for me, it really gave me my fundamental skills. And I probably would have never left Pfizer had a really intriguing opportunity not come my way. And that opportunity was Amgen came to Ireland to build the biggest biotech campus in the world. And for me, that was an opportunity I certainly didn't want to miss. So I said goodbye to Pfizer, which was a big deal for me. And I'm still so close to so many of my Pfizer colleagues. And I definitely met a couple of them before this session to get their advice. But I moved to Amgen, and this was my first time working in a global role. So I took on a role of a European EHS director. So while at Pfizer, I had worked in different roles in operations, engineering, EHS, so focusing on EHS with Amgen. So at the time, we didn't have a site because we were building the biggest biotech campus in the world. So we spent a lot of our time in other Amgen facilities. So I spent a lot of time in Thousand Oaks in California, in Puerto Rico and in Rhode Island, as well as in our small European locations. And for me, it was that first really global experience, working with people of very different cultures, very different experiences, and even to go from an East Coast, you know, Pfizer's headquartered in Manhattan, to Amgen, who are a West Coast company, that difference in culture was really evident. And I was quite amazed by the shorts and the flip-flops and the drinking beer on a Friday evening in the Thousand Oaks campus, which certainly was not the Pfizer culture. So it was a real roller coaster. Again, if any of you have had the opportunity to work in a greenfield expansion, that type of startup environment, it's a real adrenaline kick and it's really exciting. So we had the time of our lives, made great friends, but then it all came to a very abrupt end when Amgen decided to stop the project and make us all redundant. So that was definitely a bolt from the blue. But I look back and I don't regret any of it. It was an absolutely fantastic experience. And I would probably never have left Pfizer had it not been to go and work with Amgen on this really exciting project. And so what seems like maybe a bit of a disaster at the time brought a great opportunity for me. And very shortly after my experience with Amgen, I started to work with Merck Millipore in Cork in Ireland. And again, there I moved into a European EHS manager role. And I joined that site at a time when it was going through a period of growth, a period of change, a period of expansion. And lots of opportunities came my way. I became the operations manager and then the site leader, and then followed up taking on a couple of other sites. And then since about February or March last year, I've taken on responsibility for 6 sites globally. So I suppose the reason I shared my history was just to explain a little bit of how I got here and how my experiences way back in the early days with the very small entrepreneurial company, learning some really fundamental skills in the very large multinationals, and then slowly getting that exposure to a more global role and working with different cultures certainly gave me the confidence and enabled me to take on this type of role. And when I reflected back to think about, you know, what were the key things that kind of made this possible? I think the first thing, and I've heard a couple of the ladies really mention this today, those opportunities that come along, you have to grab them. And I think women can be inclined to think, no, I won't be able, it's too difficult or it's too much of a challenge, it's not for me. But you really have to grab them because those opportunities really bring you such, you know, development opportunity, such challenge. It comes with risk, so it's easy to stay where you are. But for me, I think if I didn't take the opportunities, I'd probably still be at Pfizer now. And I'm sure I'd be doing really well, but I don't think I'd be having as good of a time as I'm having now. I think the second thing I would say is I've been really lucky to have some great bosses and people that have really inspired me and who I've learned a lot from. And I would encourage you to seek out those great people to work for and build those relationships, people who are interested in your development, people that you respect and you can learn from, where you can build trust and they will then give you more opportunity, more responsibility. So I think it's important to think carefully about who you work for. And I think my final point I would say is that when, and I don't have any data to support this, but I would say 10 years ago, US multinationals typically filled their senior roles with local talent, people from home base, from the mothership, and really didn't extend to their global talent. But I really think multinationals really appreciate and value global talent. So that's women as well as folks like me who come from Ireland, which is a long way away and just 6 million people. But I think that opportunity is there now. So don't think, you know, think beyond your own locality. So that's my experience of how I got here. I'm in the role about 9 months. So how do you be effective in this type of role? I'm still figuring that out. But I think what I've thought about is, what's the difference between a global role and a non-global role? And that's really, I suppose, what you guys are probably interested in hearing about. And I think in a non-global role, what's clearly important is building trust, building teams, motivating people. And the question for me is, how do I do that effectively in a global role? Because I naturally like to work with people, to influence people. So when you're no longer having lunch with them or sitting in the queue beside them or sitting face-to-face in a meeting, how do you do that? And I think it's the same principles, but you have to think much more carefully about it. You have to go. So I have 6 sites globally. I have to go and spend time there. I have to build trust with the people that I work with. They have to get to know me. I have to get to know them. I have to understand their challenges, what makes their site different, what are their cultural norms that I need to be aware of. So you have to invest a lot of face-to-face time to build relationships and be very conscious of that. I also have a team that don't sit together, so I'm used to having a team where we all sit together and we can really build that sense of team and purpose and drive and, you know, great continuous improvement and make great progress together. So how do you do that when your team are located around the globe and really are very interested in their site or their area? And again, for me, it's about bringing those people together, spending time together, getting to know each other, getting to know what's different about each other's sites. So a lot of face-to-face time, which means a lot of travel. I think there's some other things that you do in a non-global role that you have to do even more of in a global role. So I think setting expectations, for me, that's very important in any role, making sure that people are clear on my expectations of them and I understand their expectations. You have to really be much more purposeful again about that and really make sure there are no misunderstandings. Not all of my team speak the same first language, so even that communication difficulty can cause confusion. Another thing that I find very important is feedback, so making sure that you can give and receive feedback. And again, trying to do that in a global role, you have to do it more regularly. Sometimes you have to do it over the phone, which is not comfortable. But I think you have to seize the opportunity and do it promptly, where maybe when you're together you can wait. But I think when you don't spend enough time together, you have to do more of, you know, the communication to really make sure that there isn't confusion and that people are working together and you're building trust. I suppose the other very obvious one is understanding the cultural biases. You know, working with people from different cultural backgrounds. And I chatted with one of my colleagues, Clarissa, earlier, and she mentioned a simple thing which we often forget. When we set up meetings, we sometimes forget about holidays in other countries. And that, you know, a holiday is an important time that you spend with your family and it's marked out in your calendar probably from early in the year. So I have to be very conscious and respectful of that with my team. And I think those types of things are very important, that you don't assume that what's good for your country or for you is going to be good for the rest of the team. I think the other challenge for me would be some of my team I've worked with previously, and some of them are new for me. So I have to check myself regularly that I don't have a bias to want to gravitate towards the folks I know well, because I think you can be naturally impatient and want to get things done quickly in our work environment, and you have to invest the time to spend with everybody on the team to make sure that everybody has an equal voice. So for me, working globally, it's about the people, it's about communication, and it's about being much more thoughtful and purposeful about doing that in a meaningful way. Because I think if you don't do it, you won't be successful. And I think the final one, which came from a number of us in the room, our boss, Udit Batra, who threatened to come but still hasn't appeared, and he said, you really need to know your shit. So I'm quoting him. And sometimes when you're very remote, it's very hard to know your shit because you're not there and you don't see it every day. So it's a real challenge in a remote working environment to how do you stay current, how do you stay on top of what's going on so that you're actually being effective and adding value versus a global coordinator, which I certainly don't want to be. So that's something I have to check myself on regularly. And again, you have to spend time at locations and spend time with people and not just your direct team to make sure that you stay on top of the content or know your shit. So that takes a lot longer in a global role, I think, because it takes longer to learn all of that when you're remote. So that's what I'm doing right now, trying to be effective. I suppose my last couple of comments, and then I hope we can have a discussion, maybe some questions, is from a practical and personal level, how do you manage a global role? And I have a 2-year-old son, and my partner also works for a multinational, and he travels a little bit, but not as much as I do. So certainly taking on a role with a lot of travel, because I travel probably 40% of the time, if not more, some months. So for me, we have a childminder who's really fantastic, and she's really like a third parent. And I think we've been very lucky to find her, but I think you also have to make that look, and you have to work at making sure you find the right person. We also have a couple of babysitters that we can call on, so that if those situations which always arise where somebody can't make it home, that you have those fallbacks. And I heard, Hillary talked about the support that you need to have in place and at her level. But I think if you're away from home and you have a 2-year-old son, you have to be confident that support is there. The other big thing for me, and I think myself and Suzanne talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks back, but when you're travelling a lot, it's quite energy sapping. So I really had to make a decision a few months back to really try and look after myself. So I have to try and exercise, try and eat well, and try and get lots of sleep, because otherwise I spend the whole weekend at home recovering, which means you're not happy and you're not going to be effective in work either. So that's something I do to keep my energy levels up when I'm traveling a lot. So that's my story and my few words of advice on this topic. But I'd love to hear from some of you ladies who have lots more experiences. Great. Yes, I forgot to mention that.
I think it would be very interesting for this group to hear what are your expectations, how do you plan for this type of move. Somebody from here is going to get abroad, that's exactly what you are.
Yes, yes.
You. So how do you feel about it? How is it going to be to come here, etc.?
Yeah, so part of this role, like I could do this role from Ireland, and I have two other peers in our organisation, and they do this role remotely. But for me, my direct boss and his team are located here. Two of my largest, most important sites are located here, and they're sites that I don't know as well as I know some of my other sites. And some of my key stakeholders and customers are located here. So it was evident to me that coming here and spending time here would really accelerate my time in this role and my speed of being effective. I would like to have come here much sooner, but my partner's work situation is now starting to line up where our plan is to come here in February. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be great. I think the hardest part so far has been trying to get a US visa. So because we're not married, my partner won't get a US working visa, so he'll probably go to college. But the process and the questionnaires and the paperwork, it's pretty exhaustive. But we're there now and that's done. So the next thing is we need to come over and find somewhere to live. And then I guess pack everything and move and find another Agnes who's my super childminder. That's going to be the hardest part. But so yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Be great. Yeah, it's a good question. I think for me, I would say take the opportunities. And if you work in a multinational organization, there's certainly going to be opportunities to work on global projects, cross-site projects. Put your hand up and say you want to travel. I know in EMD Millipore, you know, that's encouraged. And if folks are mobile, it's really fantastic, because if you can get experience in other countries, it really accelerates your development. So I think let it be known, make sure that you take the opportunities. I guess the other thing would be learn languages, but I guess it's hard when you're an adult to do that. But I think I would encourage people to learn more than English. That's all I speak, but yes. Yeah, I personally haven't, but I grew up with three brothers, so, and I haven't any sisters, so I find a lot of women a little bit scary, actually, to be honest. But I think the first time I became aware of being a woman in a work environment was when I had my child, because suddenly where I could stay late and could travel and there was never a problem to do anything, now I find that I have to say no. And that doesn't sit well with me, so I think that can be challenging. And I think maybe it's not harder, but I sense it's harder for women to do that. Hi, Johanna. Thank you. I think I have an ability to get things done. I just like to go and do it. So I think the confidence to execute. I like making decisions. So I feel comfortable making decisions. I think you have to be able to do that. And I really love building teams. I love putting people together, people with potential, and really driving change, improvement. So I've kind of sought out environments where we're dynamic, we're changing. I get bored very easily, and when I get bored, I get lazy. So I think if I can find the right environment for me, I really find that it's the same skills. So, and I remember sitting as the ops leader, and Chris Ross was a site leader in Cork, and he asked me to take on that role, and I thought I couldn't be a site leader. And then he encouraged me, and I did it, and I found that it's actually the same skills that you use in that role. And as you start to realize that, it's just experience, and you know, you're constantly learning and developing and making sure that when you make a move, it's the right time for you. So I think that's what I do. Yes. No, I absolutely agree. And we have a rhythm where we have a monthly operations review where we review our performance, and a monthly review of key projects, and lots of telecons and video conferences. But we come together every other month for 2 days, which is enough to kind of make sure that we bond, and we can, you know, we use the 2 days together to talk more strategic, to look at the future, to learn about each other's challenges and work on problems. And we try and keep the kind of regular business to the WebEx and VideoCon, because it's harder to pick up on the body language or the nuances. But you can't expect people to travel every month, and these folks are site leaders who have to be there. I would say that we could get a lot better at our virtual working. Our technology lets us down. So I think we need to invest in that and really focus on that and not be... Because I think if you're traveling too much, you become quite ineffective. It's very difficult to get work done, and it's quite energy sapping. So you need to find that balance, definitely. Yes? Yeah, I think it's about doing the appropriate work for your role, I think. And so when I was a site leader, you're very much involved in everything. You know, you're talking with operators, you're dealing with the latest drama with something, you know, the electricity goes or something blows up, and like a piece of equipment, no, not a site or anything. So I now have a team of very competent site leaders who are dealing with that day to day, and the last thing they want is me, you know, micromanaging them. And that's been my challenge, because I love being hands-on. I love the day-to-day. I love the decision-making that you make so quickly and the autonomy that you have. So I've had to step back and figure out what is my value in this role. And it is about getting this team together, seeing the bigger picture, what's critically important for our cluster, how do we work together to drive improvement over a number of years. And that's where I spend most of my time. But, you know, so much time is spent on the day-to-day as well, but I think you have to do your job differently. You can't just add on a whole another layer of work. So it's to sort of step back and let the team do their thing as well. Good question, Maureen. I think I look for people with a can-do positive attitude, because if they're really talented and technical, but they're negative and they bring a negative energy, that for me is a big problem. So I look for people who are positive, who are optimistic, who, you know, who want to get involved, who are interested, motivated. And then I think, you know, folks who are good with other people and who can collaborate and build teams and are strong leaders, for me that's very important. The other thing in a company like Merck Millipore is technical talent. So I really love a technical leader who has very strong interpersonal leadership skills. And I think you try and balance your team then as well. So looking for folks that balance each other. So you might have the facilitator, you might have somebody who's technically great, but you may not have them leading a very big team. So I think it's trying to balance the skills. But generally for me, somebody who's positive, who wants to improve, who wants to get the job done, I'll take those any day, definitely. I think when I moved in that role, I suppose I moved in the area that I was a specialist in. So my specialization was environmental protection, and that's where an opportunity came up for me in a multinational. I also moved into a role that was temporary. So it wasn't a permanent position. And you know, maybe that's an option if you can find something that gives you a foot in the door. But apart from that, I'm not sure if I can help. Sorry. Okay. Oh, yeah. If anybody else has any advice, actually, or any other thoughts, because I certainly don't have all the answers. Network, yes, yes, absolutely. Network, yeah.
Does your strong business in that takes a little bit of
motivates you to go to work and be that strong businesswoman every day?
I really enjoy my job. I really enjoy it. And I think anyone who works in operations will probably never want to work anywhere else. It's a very, it taps into everything. So you've got the people, you've got the technical, you've got the decision making, you've got the tangible making product, which is really fantastic, products that are so valuable for our customers. So it's very, very real. I also have a really brilliant team. My team are fantastic. I learn so much from them. So we have a lot of fun and it's easy to go to work in that sense. I probably don't think about it that much either. I just get on with it. Yeah. Hi, Joanna. Yeah, it's a great question, and it's something I personally would love to work in Asia or South America. And I think part of it is, and I was recently in China, and we had some really interesting lectures on Chinese culture and learning more about China. And what really struck me during that week was how our preconception about another country that you've never been to can be so strong. So I think if you're interested in working in Asia or South America, go there, go on holidays, go and meet the people, see what it's like. I think that is a nice way to open doors and really open opportunities. And if you feel good about it, certainly in multinationals, there will be a lot of opportunities to work in Asia or South America where, you know, maybe it's harder to encourage people to move that bit further. Anybody in the audience got any words of wisdom they'd like to share, Lauren?
I would say there's one. Thank you very much. At least for the sessions that I've attended today, and I'm sure most of you, there is a common thread.
Mm-hmm.
One is, you know, about understanding what you want and taking charge of that, taking risks. I think you mentioned that. The opportunities that when they present themselves, have the courage to step forward. So I think for me anyway, the day is kind of brought together themes that although most of us have heard and understood, but it's starting to connect all the dots. And I think, you know, the discussion that you just had with us is so important because that is one area that probably most of us in our careers hadn't really thought about. We think about the traditional things in our careers, but the idea to take on a global role,
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to think about what it could be like. To go outside of, you know, wherever our home is, right, our home country, and to actually go somewhere and think about that is one. And two, the other part that you mentioned, just the idea of taking on a role that might involve a little bit more of a virtual team that isn't going to be connected in with you every day. I think the points that you mentioned are so incredibly important for what we do today, and even in thinking about how would we manage if that opportunity ever, you know, presented itself. It is a bit frightening to think about how do you deal with a team of people that aren't, you know, within walking distance of you every day.
So yeah. Thanks, Lauren.
It's been connecting the dots throughout the day. So thank you.
Thank you.
Just to piggyback on that, even if you're just kind of starting out,
another site that's 1,000 miles away is completely different than something local. You know, you start out small and then you just keep working your way up. It's, all you can do is you learn, and take what you want and apply it. So if you're a little bit nervous about going home,
thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Preparing for working globally?
Yeah. I mean, maybe a competency that you said is really, we underspend our time on maybe their differentiation.
Mm-hmm. I think building that team and being able to do that globally is much more difficult. So spending time developing those skills, you know, how to build trust within the team, how to build strong relationships where people can challenge each other robustly but also support each other. So finding the opportunities to, you know, work in a team and lead a team and develop a team and the all the simple things that you do to build that team, I think for me is really important. Because people will never feel so disconnected if they're either global or non-global if that isn't there. So I think that's really important, really critically important. Okay. Thanks, ladies. And